Things a little bit different. We don't always sing as many songs as we will this morning. There will not be a sermon this morning. As per se in a normal way, our sermon will come in a different form. What we will do is Elliot and I are going to share with you sermon through praise thoughts this morning and how that God has affected the lives of many members of this congregation. And how he is giving us reasons over and over again to give praise and glory and honor to him. And so the first thing that we want to do this morning is I'm going to ask all of our youth, even fifth and sixth grade on up, all the young people, all the kids, just stand up where you are. That's fine. But I wanted you to see especially the teenagers up front. You look around, there are a lot of young people here. And all of those who you are sixth grade and down can sit down. They can't yet. I want to share with you quickly a story about them from camp this year. Our young people who went to camp and who were a part of that are very special. And we praise God for them in their hearts. We had a very large camp session this year, and as things occurred through the week, our teenagers came together at least three different times to pray together as a group. And by the end of the week, what we found was other kids at camp were drawn to this youth group. And they wanted to be a part of what we were doing. And some of our kids came to me even and asked me, can we... We know that Kristen is struggling with her pregnancy a little bit. Can we surround her as a group and pray for her? And so we found a private time and a place kind of away from everybody. And we were going to surround her with just our youth group and pray for her. And even in that, we found that kids were drawn to what was going on from a distance to be a part of that. And so I praise God for these young people who influenced my life in such a large and incredible way. You may be seated. It is their love that makes a difference, and it made a difference that week. So let's sing together about God's love. Ladies.
Love one another.
Lost our way. as we prepare to gather around the table this morning and break bread together, I want to share a story with you. The one who told this says, "Many years ago, when I worked as a volunteer at Stanford Hospital, I got to know a little girl named Liza, who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the boy if he'd be willing to give his blood to his sister. I saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, 'Yes, I'll do it if it will save Liza.' As the transfusion progressed, he lay in the bed next to his sister and smiled, as we all did, seeing the color return to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, 'Will I start to die right away?' Being young, the boy had misunderstood the doctor, and he thought he was going to have to give her all of his blood. You know, John 15:12 says, 'This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends.' When we gather around the table and think back on the cross, it makes us stop and think, what do I say to a Savior who knew exactly what pain and suffering he would endure when he came to die for me, and he did it anyway? What do we say? Bow with me in prayer. God, we come before your throne and we thank you for your love. Your word tells us you loved us so much, you sent your one and only Son. We thank Jesus for his body that he laid down as a lamb to the slaughter, laid down in our place so that we could have hope and we could have a home with you in heaven. We pray that you help us to reflect back on that at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We've each had those moments when a friend or family member will call us or catch us and tell us that they have good news. You know, they got a raise, or maybe they got a new job, or maybe they're getting married, or found out they're going to have a baby. You know, some good news. But the greatest news isn't those things. In fact, the greatest news isn't even, you know, the test came back negative. That's not the greatest news for us. The greatest news for us is that we have a Savior. The greatest news for us is that we have perfect blood that was shed that covers my sins. I don't have to bear the weight of my sins anymore. The greatest news is we have a Savior. And that's what we come each Sunday. One of the things we come for is to come and remember that. Pray with me. God, we bow before you and we thank you for many things. And we praise you for many things, but none greater than the blood of your Son, which being perfect was shed for us. It allows us to be pure and forgiven, to walk with you in holiness and in fellowship. It allows us to long and look forward to a home with you in heaven. We thank you for that most of all. In Jesus' name, amen. The thing we're wanting to do today in this service in particular is to acknowledge God and how good He is. And when we think about the things that God has done for us, God, He's just so good. He's given us so much. And when it comes times like this, when we can give some back, isn't that a joy? And so bow with me as we pray. God, we thank you for all that you give us, and we thank you for moments like these that we can give some back, that we can give something to you that is valuable to us, and honor you in that and glorify you. And we pray you bless the finances that are gathered each week, that they would advance your kingdom, that they would bring more glory and honor to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We shall assemble on the mountain.
Masters to come up front, and I would like to share with you their story and what God has done in their life. I know a number of us have seen and been aware of some of these things. We've prayed for Amy and John and their family and the babies, but I want to share something that that Amy has written for me. I want to read it to you. And she says, "We had a perfect plan. My last year of nursing school, I would get pregnant, I would graduate, have a baby, take a few months off, and then start working as a nurse. Also, our children would be the perfect age apart, 3.5 years. Only it didn't work that way. After trying to get pregnant for a year, we finally found out we were pregnant in November. It was wonderful. It wasn't our perfect plan, but our prayers were finally answered. The Saturday after Thanksgiving, I had a miscarriage. Why would God answer my prayers and then take it back? I was devastated. We continued trying with no avail. We went to a doctor specializing in fertility who I happened to meet at my new job as a nurse. After labs and tests on John and I, everything looked great, which makes fertility issues even more frustrating. We decided to go in the direction of getting fertility assistance, very mild and non-invasive. First month, I got pregnant. What an incredible blessing. Our first appointment, we had an ultrasound. 2 sacs, 2 babies. I was never one of those women who wanted twins. The thought of twins felt overwhelming. This wasn't what I had planned. How could I juggle a twin pregnancy with a new job as a nurse and then 2 newborns? I cried at that appointment. This is something I now feel very guilty about. I had prayed for a baby and God had blessed me with 2, and I cried because this wasn't my plan. At about seven weeks, morning sickness hit. It was more all-day sickness. I vomited constantly. I was sore from getting sick so often. This stopped at about 20 weeks. It was around the same time I found out we were having girls. The excitement of twin girls was shadowed because I was also diagnosed at that time with the complete placenta previa. A placenta previa is when the placenta is directly over the cervix, which puts myself and the babies at risk of bleeding to death. This also threw out my perfect plan of having a natural delivery. I would have to have a C-section. At about 21 weeks pregnant, I started contracting. This would be my first trip to the hospital. Although not uncommon to contract with a multiple gestation pregnancy, contracting with a previa can be very dangerous. I was sent home and with medications and put on bed rest. There went my plan of working till delivery and saving money. At about 28 weeks, I started bleeding in the middle of the night and was rushed to the hospital. The bleeding was controlled and I eventually was able to come home. This happened 2 more times. The 4th time it happened, I was home alone. John was at work. My parents had taken Ben to Monday night for the master. I knew it was very heavy bleeding. I couldn't get a hold of anyone. Normally, when I talk, babies go to sleep. And I kind of thought that might happen, but maybe not. But the babies are the story. Then my mom showed up. She had decided to come and help me clean for her Monday Night for the Master project. She rushed me to the hospital. When I saw the other nurses' faces, I knew it was bad. They started two IV sites. There were several nurses, ultrasound, and at bedside, two doctors. They started a blood transfusion and some IV medication to stop my contractions. They told me they were trying to buy just a few more days for the babies. I remember the doctor coming in and telling me if it doesn't stop, they would have to take me back to the operating room, take the babies, and possibly do a hysterectomy. I can't talk or even think about this day without being completely overwhelmed with emotion. I had never felt so utterly helpless. Me, the nurse, me, the mother, me, the one who was always in control, could do nothing. I remember just whispering to anyone that could hear, "Could you tell them just to pray?" The bleeding eventually did stop. I was able to stay pregnant, but I wasn't able to go home. I stayed in the hospital about 5 weeks, bleeding off and on. My little boy, who I hadn't stayed more than 3 days apart from, had his mommy gone for 5 weeks. The guilt was overwhelming. I spent at least 20 hours a day alone in bed. I'd never been so alone in my life. I wish I could tell you I prayed and sang songs of praise, read the Bible, developed an amazing relationship with God during that time, but I didn't. I was angry. I did, however, develop a real relationship with God. I let go. I cried to God. I begged. I told Him how angry I was at Him. God allowed me to break down until I let go. My last bleed was a big one. I got out of bed to go to the restroom. I felt a big gush. It was blood and it was a lot. I kept trying to get back in the bed, but I kept slipping in the blood. I was told later by a nurse with 15 years experience she had never seen that much and a mother and baby survive. I was finally able to get to the call light. One nurse came in and started yelling for help. I looked at the clock, 6:38 a.m. on November 1st. Everyone was buzzing around, starting a second IV, calling anesthesia, calling my doctor, and calling John. Everyone made it to the delivery. Hannah Marie was born at 7:08. Which one's Hannah Marie? Hannah Marie, 7:08. Kate Dawson, born just 1 minute later. When I prayed for a second child, I never thought about my journey to get there. In my moments of desperation, despair, helplessness, and anger, God took and molded me into a more patient, compassionate, empathetic Christian mother, wife, and nurse. I look at my daughters and think how beautifully perfect God's plan is, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it. Isn't God enough? God is amazing.
Yes.
And our plans aren't His plans. But His plans are wonderful. We're going to sing a song, "You Are My All in All." God is enough. And let's lift our voices and praise God this morning together.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
want to give our young children this morning the opportunity to learn also. And so at this time, let's be standing as we sing the next song. And that'll give our children's ages 3 through 7 and 2 and under also able to go to the nursery. So,
God has smiled on me. He has set me free.
My wife and my boys to join me, please. She knows I'm going to make her cry. Elliot and I, visiting for this weekend, sitting in the office talking about things that are going on in the congregation, it really became evident to us that it was time to share some things with you as a congregation. And I shared some personal things. Joe, you may have to lead the next song. And Elliot said, you have to tell that story. So I'm going to do it quickly. Two and a half years ago, most of you know that I was not working as a minister any longer. I had left the ministry for about 9 years, and I planned to never return. That was my plan. That was my decision. That was the direction that I was headed. And I remember specifically I remember specifically rising one Sunday morning and thinking, I do not want to go. I don't want to be a part. I don't want to listen to those people sing. And I don't want to share with them. But I decided to go because of my incredible wife and my two young boys. And we visited a few places, and we were kind of here and there all over Tulsa, and I could tell that it was having an effect on my family. Karen Watkins made Janine promise that we would come visit. And so one Sunday morning, we came back to Sand Springs after being here so many years earlier. And we came in and sat on the left-hand side, and some of you have known us for years, even came to me, I think, and said, we sat on the right-hand side. They came in and said, that's not your place. You guys sat over here. And I thought, that's 20 years ago. How do they remember that? We got in the car that morning, and I asked my boys, what did they think? And they enjoyed the morning. I looked at my wife, and I said, what do you think? And she said, it just felt like being home. And I praise God for a family and a place that is home. Thank you. I praise Him because He is a great and incredible King and God for all of us.
The splendor of the King. Let all the earth rejoice. He rests.
Father, we come before you just giving you thanks for life itself. We thank you for the opportunity this morning and this day to lift our voices in song to you, for you alone are worthy of our praise. To give you glory and honor is a blessing and an opportunity, Father. And we know that as you gave your Son to die on the cross for us, that he rose in victory for us, that we might find through him forgiveness of sins and an opportunity to start all over again. Father, this day belongs to you. It is for you that we lift our hearts and our minds and our voices before your mighty throne. Father, we know that your love is greater than we can understand. Father, give us strength, give us vision as a church, as a congregation, as a family, to always let your light shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And both these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, preparing way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
Come up. Many of you know Lori and Allie, Lori Ingram. Some of you may know some of Lori's story and their story, but I really think most of us don't. You don't know this whole story. And so listen to this. Lori writes, "In 1995, I found out I was pregnant with twins. Shortly after I became severely sick with constant migraine headaches. My doctor sent me to the ER. After a CAT scan showed a mass in my brain, I was sent to a high triage hospital where I was told I had to undergo brain surgery immediately. My twin sons and I underwent an 8-hour brain surgery the next day. My family and I were told the next week that the tennis ball-sized tumor they removed was malignant, but I wasn't able to undergo chemo or radiation until after the boys were born. At 5.5 months pregnant, I hemorrhaged with the boys and was airlifted to the same hospital that did my brain surgery. After 10 days in the perinatal ward, the team of doctors had to take my sons by emergency C-section. Daniel weighed 1 pound, 4 ounces, and Stephen weighed 1 pound, 8 ounces. 8 hours later, the doctor came to my room and told me that Daniel wasn't going to make it, so they rolled me down to the NICU and allowed me to hold him for the last 4 minutes of his life. About 2 weeks later, I held Stephen as he took his final breath. After 2 funerals, I was sent to radiation therapy 5 days a week for 6 weeks. In 1998, I moved back to Texas to be closer to my family, and that's where I met Bobby. We married in 2000. In 2000, I found out I was pregnant again with twins. But by the 3rd month, I miscarried. In 2001, I became pregnant again, and once again, it was twins. As I started to miscarry on my fourth month, I was admitted into the hospital because they found a faint heartbeat of the twin that was still there. 24 hours later, I lost that baby too. From that point on, I was surrounded by the women of my church. They carried me. They encouraged me. They gave me strength, and they loved me. And one night, I prayed with the purest heart. I asked God for my heart's desire. I prayed, "Father, you said if I pray my heart's desire in your son's name, you will give it to me. Father, my heart's desire is for you to fill my womb with a healthy child. And if it's your will for me to have my heart's desire, then I pray your will be done in Jesus' name." In 2002, a month after I left my husband for adultery, I found out I was 2 months pregnant. And on March 31st, 2003, Elizabeth Hope, we know her as Allie, Elizabeth Hope was born weighing 9 pounds, 12 ounces. Talk about a healthy baby. And she is proof that prayer, when spoken from a true heart, is answered. August 17th, I celebrated 18 years brain cancer free, beating the statistics for my type of cancer 3 times. Lori also adds that since 2008, I had not found a church where I felt like I belonged, where the Spirit of the Lord was present, until I found this church. I visited because my son-in-law asked me to. From the minute I walked in, I felt like I was home. Every week I come to refresh my soul, and every week I leave knowing I'm loved by you all. What a story. Isn't God good? We're going to sing a song, "To God Be the Glory." And we're going to keep praising God. Sing with us.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. For God to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Brenda, if y'all will come up. I want to mention one real quick while they're coming up that I didn't know. Maddie Bateman was born 3 months premature. 2 months premature. And, you know, when a child comes like that, we're all sitting here, aren't we? Thinking of what God's done in our family. Many stories. I mean, I just look around and I see story after story after story. And that's the beauty of being a child of God, isn't it? I want to share Brenda's. Many of us know their situation and their story and one that's ongoing. Brenda says, our story started in February 2010 when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was the toughest thing we ever had to face. By the end of that year, God blessed us by taking the cancer away. We know our battle was made a whole lot easier because of the love shown to us through our family, church family, and friends. We will never forget the Sunday the ladies came in with their hats on. How many ladies, you remember that day? Came in with their hats on. That simple act of support made a world of difference in our lives. After a couple of years, we had begun to relax somewhat, and then in 2012, the storm hit again. My numbers plummeted. Through various testing, it was determined that I had basically pre-leukemia. Feelings of fear and uncertainty started in again. God, knowing just what we needed to help us through this, put us in touch with Karen Sism, who had previously been through a similar health crisis. She put us in touch with her doctor, who said my best shot at recovery would be a bone marrow transplant. If it worked, I would be cured. If it did not, if it did not do it, I would have about a year to live. He asked me if I wanted to live. We walked away that day full of hope again, praise God. Because my transplant was with an unrelated donor, I had to go to Dallas. Again, my sadness set in, knowing I would have to be away from my family for at least 3 to 5 months. Fear of not knowing the outcome could be overwhelming at times. I always knew God was in control, but sometimes the old devil would get a hold of me, but God was stronger. He provided me with a donor from Germany who was a perfect match. He gave me the strength to endure the chemo, the transplant itself, the time away from family. Jim was provided a way to stay the first month with me through the church here at his job, and his job. And then the ladies who gave of their time to stay the second month to me with me was priceless. The laptop that was purchased for us kept us in touch with everyone here twice a week, making it possible to still worship with everyone here. Through the grace of God, I only ended up staying 2 months in Dallas. I was able to come home in time to welcome our new granddaughter, Zeta, into our family. Having already been blessed with Xander and Zia, it made it all worth it. This has been a long and tiring 3.5 years, but through it all, there have been so many blessings afforded us. The love and friendships we have found here have made a lasting impact. Even when life gets ugly, there's always hope through God. Our journey is still ongoing. We don't know the outcome, but one thing for sure never changes. God is in control. He gives us what we need to endure if we have faith and if we follow His will. Our God is awesome. I want to ask you all to stand. We're going to sing a song, Faith is the Victory. And what an example of faith, what an example of how great God is. Let's continue to praise God.
In camp along the hills of light, we Christians all to drive, and press the battle ere the night shall bear the glowing sky. Against the foe in battles below, let all thy strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know, that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, shouts of triumph trod. By faith they mark the world in threat, swept on for every fear. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To Him that overcomes the flood, what His name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts of love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Please be seated. Tom Cotty, right? Tom and I's story is a little different because Tom and I have known each other since early elementary school. And he's been one of those guys that together through the years, we have probably confessed too much to each other and know too many stories about each other. But Tom asked me to share a few things with you this morning. At one time, Tom was a very successful real estate agent in Oklahoma City, working and making a lot of money, and began to invest money in places. And of course, several families all across our nation were affected when the real estate market took a fall, and he was one of those. He lost a lot of things. And he began to turn to the bottle. And he lost just about everything else he had left in life. He went to a rehab that helped him begin to put his life back together and begin to focus in a new direction once again. I remember talking to him on the phone, and he said, I just don't know if I'll ever return to services again. And we talked about life and many, many things. And at 45 years old, never been married, had no family, no one he was close to. I was the closest thing that he had to family at that time. And I want to jump forward now. We're about a year and a half later. Tom's life has changed completely. After beginning to attend services here and meeting the people, you as a congregation pulled him in and surrounded him with your love. And then a few months ago, many of you know, there is now a Mrs. Cotty, Karen, who is a blessing to him beyond belief, he says. And beyond that, he is blessed with an amazing young lady, Hannah, as a stepdaughter. And he says that his future and his outlook on life has changed in such an incredible way that it only can be imagined. Tom, we love you. And we praise God that you're a part of this congregation. And we thank you. Let's stand and sing the next song together. One of the things that I know is very heavy on Tom's heart is the opportunity for you to change, for you to put God right in your life once again. And so as we start towards the close of the service, we want to sing a few verses to give you that opportunity. If we can surround you, pray with you this morning, if we can help you set your life right, if we can help you put on Christ, begin a new walk of life. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
just a moment to say thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being a part of our worship service this morning. I hope that you will find things this week to lift your voices and give praise to God for all the things that He's done for us as a family and for you particularly. A couple of things I need to mention before we sing the last verse and the closing prayer is we have fellowship meal today, and there is a lot of food across the street. I helped carry in several plates, and I'm hungry. I'm sure you are. Please come join us over there, be a part of that fellowship, and take time to just sit and visit a little bit with those who are here. Then also, somehow, and I typed it in originally, I think, the ladies' retreats date is wrong on the bulletin. It'll be November the 16th and 17th. So November the 16th and 17th, please put that on your calendar for the women's retreat. I know that they're working very hard on that. It'll be an exciting weekend for you. May your week be blessed, and may His name be glorified by all of your efforts. Let's sing this last verse, and then we'll be closed in prayer. How great is our God! Sing with me, our great.
Father, as we look at the things that you have given us in terms of blessing, in terms of relief, of coming to our aid when we have need of your power, we thank you for that and we praise you for that. We all, Father, struggle with things in our life because of the nature of sin in itself and its presence in this world. And we're so grateful that you are always there at our side whenever we beckon your call. You never forsake us. You never leave us. For that, we thank you. And we thank you for helping us to conquer the battles that we face. Continue to be with us, Father. We give you all the glory. May our lives be a continual example of who you are in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.